The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for Equal Time, a program that crosses the boundaries of normal political discussion on the radio. It's Equal Time for the Progressive Side. Now, here are your hosts by popular demand, Frank Blair, Audrey Chase, and Tracy Kelly.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much for joining us today for Equal Time. I am Frank Blair. You are?
Audrey Chase.
And, of course, as always,
Tracy Kelly.
Each and every week, we'd like to welcome you to Equal Time. Boy, have we got a lot. There's always a lot of ground to cover. Like, for example, the farmers' fields in Iowa are currently covered.
Yeah. Illinois towns completely flooded out and gone, no longer exist.
And what lies at the end of the Mississippi?
U.S. New Orleans, which is in a bowl with inadequate levee protection.
Right. They said they wouldn't be able to survive a level 2 hurricane.
Oh, my God. Very frightening.
Hurricane season hasn't even begun.
I heard a general, was he a major, but he was with Corps of Engineers saying the infrastructure in the United States of America is crumbling, and we've done nothing at all to improve it.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't want to put people back to work rebuilding our infrastructure. No. That makes no sense.
You're a communist, you know that?
Because that wouldn't be the first time I've been called that.
What did we do? There was this one weird president that created these programs so that the homeless...
You mean our longest-standing president?
Yeah, you know, had this program that everybody said he was crazy, but he rebuilt the whole country and put people to work and gave them back their pride and their homes. And
while beating a depression and fighting war?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Well, now
a really
big
war.
Yeah, and all we can do right now is fight a war with one country that's actually an occupation. You know, costs us. You know, I'm not going to get off into that. By the way, our Bill of Rights just took a big hit today, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We got a couple of special guests. We're going to go local first, and you can call us, by the way, at area code 253-584-1480. Once again, that's area code 253-584-1480 or toll free from King County southwards.
Do not dial 1. It's 253-804-5765.
We are going to be talking about local and small business issues of the first half of this show, and then we have a special guest calling in at 12:30 who's Congressman Jay Inslee. He's going to talk to us a little bit about FISA. But first, we have a local businessman and activist for small businesses, mostly downtown Tacoma, but actually small businesses everywhere, and his name is Marty Campbell. Welcome to Equal Time. Marty, how are you doing this week?
Hey, Frank, how are you doing?
Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, so I'm always glad to be on your show, and Audrey, Tracy, hello.
Are you outside enjoying the sun?
I'm coming to the office, but as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go down to Frost Park and hang out down there because they got a big, have you heard about what they're doing down at Frost Park in downtown Tacoma?
No.
So every Friday, they have what they call a chalk-off, where a bunch of local artists come down there and draw chalk drawings on the sidewalk.
Oh,
and
cool.
People donate prizes, and then there's kind of like an online voting afterwards.
Where is that park?
Frost Park is on the corner of 9th and Pacific Avenue. And it's an area that in the past has had some, you know, drug dealing and crime problems. But now all these local bloggers and artists show up, and they hang out, and restaurants will bring in food, and you can stop down there all throughout the weekend and see all the art that they've put up. If you go on to feedtacoma.com, you can see some of the pictures and some of the talk about it. And I am sponsoring today's event, so the winner of it today will get, like, Mariners tickets and $50 gift certificate and 10 free rentals and video.
Wow, that's cool.
Hey, but those Mariners tickets are hard to get. I'm kidding.
No, they're hard to give away.
First prize is 2 tickets. Second prize is 4 tickets,
right?
Bless your heart. Well, Marty, you are a small business owner, and you've been at this for a while. What are your small businesses?
Well, I own Buzzard CDs.
Now, where is that located?
Downtown Tacoma.
Where at?
Next door to the Swiss, overlooking the University of Washington Tacoma campus.
And that's on about
19th
and Jefferson. It's a great little store. As a matter of fact, you guys have saved my life a couple of times. I've been, you know how sometimes you hang for music?
Oh, yes.
It was out of print. I couldn't find it. So I says, well, this looks like a job for Buzzard. So I went down there, and your capable, wonderful, and may I say quite pleasant staff was able to track that down, and I now have it loaded on my iPod. So these great local small businesses, you walk into a box store and you get, well, you might have to go somewhere else, or I don't know, just get out of here, you know. So, but when you go into an independently owned small business, you're treated like someone because they value your business. What other business do you own?
I also own Stadium Video.
Now, where's that located?
Well, it's right in the heart of the Stadium District, but you got the Harvester Restaurant. We're in their basement. When you go around a park on the backside, you walk through this little door, and it opens up to this vast expanse of about 26,000 DVDs and videos for your choice.
Wow, that's a big selection.
Yeah, a big diversity of selection as well.
Oh, yes. And, you know, we have some of the greatest films of all time. We have over 100 years of film.
Holy cow. What would the phone number for that business be?
That'd be 572-1190.
What was that again?
572-1190.
And that's area code 253.
Of course it is.
What was that number for buzzards again? I missed that.
Well, that one's the 253-591-0183.
And I missed the last number, so say the whole thing again.
253-591-0183.
Now, you've been a businessman in downtown and in the Stadium District for quite some time. You've been quite active, especially with like the Tacoma Avenue issues and the downtown businesses, right?
Right. In the past, I mean, you know, been president of the Downtown Merchants Group, but this last year, they've asked me to be chair of the Cross District Business Association, which is the 14 business districts in downtown throughout the entire city of Tacoma. And what we're trying to do is bring activity back to the neighborhood business districts, because ultimately that's where a lot of people relate with. You know, they say, I live by Proctor, I live by McKinley, I live off South Tacoma. And that's how they identify their neighborhoods. But for a long time, we've kind of neglected that as a city. And we want to bring that back to bring the pride not only in the business districts but in the neighborhoods. And, you know, the small businesses are going to be our future economic engine. Let's face it, no big companies, you know, we'll be happy to keep the big companies that we have, the large employers, but we're not going to get large employers coming into the town. We need to create a culture of entrepreneurship to begin building more small, locally owned businesses here in Tacoma.
What are some of the main challenges that small businesses have?
Well, one of the main challenges, of course, is city government. City, county, state government is dealing with, you know, some of the, just that you get the tax breaks for the big companies, but they don't trickle down to the small companies. And so they don't get the level playing field to play on. And that's what makes it difficult. But yet you find, despite a lot of the disadvantages they may have, not the money to market, not the some of the other challenges, they hire the employees who want to be there, who are going to give you that good service. They'll work extra hours to try to find that unique product to bring in, or to make that product themselves, things that you just can't get somewhere else. And so sometimes, you know, their challenge is finding enough hours in the day to create that way of making themselves unique and different and making it a place you want to be.
Marty, do you see that the gas crunch could maybe be in your favor because people want to have their stores and products that they need closer to home so they can walk back and forth?
Absolutely. And I know I've got a few friends who, one who's taking a week off next week to have a staycation instead of going somewhere.
I'm on that right now.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys have also gone a step further. Now there's I believe it's called Go Local. That's kind of a concept around here to help encourage people to shop at locally owned businesses, right?
Absolutely, and it's part of the marketing off the Cross District Association Downtown Merchants Group of encouraging people to go local, to be local, think local, to do to not just. It first kind of started as a buy local program.
Mm-hmm.
But we realized our life is so much more than just buying. It's really about going and doing things locally. And it's about changing your lifestyle to one that is a local lifestyle. Now, there are some people out there, and I really applaud them. They're trying to do the 100-mile food chain. Everything that they eat comes from within 100 miles.
Marty, can you stick with us through a break?
And I absolutely can.
Okay, we'll be back after this break with Marty Campbell, a really hip guy for business in Tacoma. And we're back right here live on KLAY 1180 AM. I'm still Frank Blair. You are, as always,
Audrey Chase.
And every week, I always count on you to remain
Tracy Kelly.
Exactly. And once again, our number is area code 253-584-1480. We've got a couple of special guests with us now. Marty, tell us about the website.
The website is www.golocaltacoma.com.
Cool. And what that does, and I was on that this morning, it gives each district a page by which they can advertise why you should go there and do stuff and buy stuff, right?
That's right. So you can go to each of the 14 business districts in downtown and get a directory to so that you can go on there and look, okay, I want to buy a clock locally. So you go on there and you look, you find out on 6th Avenue you got Myers Clock.
Yeah.
Or I want to, you know, you pick your item, you go in there and you can look and you can see a list of businesses that might be able to help you out with that. Give them a call so that you can make the local possible choice to your house.
Does it show festivals and fairs and farmers markets in that area also?
And we're working on building that in, and we are going to be getting events in there. I'm glad you brought up farmers markets. They're going to be part of what we are going forward.
Good.
We're actually working on launching this as a huge initiative, including farmers markets, connecting local farmers with local restaurants. Down at the farmers market every Thursday downtown, we have the local living lounge where you can come in and learn about what it takes to grow local, go local, shop local, be local, connect with farmers, everything about living local. We actually have a resource tent down there, and we're working at getting it out to some of the other farmers market.
Excellent. Now, we're going to bring on another guest, and this is Chris Gunn. He is, I believe he's the president of American Small Business League, and that's a, it's an organization that was put together of, by, and for small business. Can you stay with us, Marty?
Absolutely.
Excellent. We'd like to welcome to Equal Time Chris Gunn from American Small Business League. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Now, tell us just a little bit about the American Small Business League, how it was formed, and what you guys do.
Okay, great. Well, the American Small Business League is a small business advocate. We're based out of Northern California. We were formed in 2002 to protect the interests of small businesses that do business primarily with the federal government, whether those be local contractors that are working nationally or contractors that are working with federal agencies within different territories across the United States. And essentially, we look out for those companies in terms of federal contracting, ensuring that they have the greatest access to federal contracts and that essentially large businesses are not receiving contracts that are specifically intended for small businesses.
Well, now, unfortunately, it seems as though under the Bush administration, the small business includes like Fortune 100 clubs, right?
Fortune 100, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000. We're just talking about large businesses here, businesses that have really no business being anywhere near federal programs designed for small businesses.
And that gets them, that garners them billions of federal contracts through the Small Business Administration, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the federal government is the largest purchaser of goods and services in the world. They spend about $500 billion annually. Small businesses are entitled to 23% of that denomination by a congressional mandate. But they're not getting that, and we think that somewhere between half and 86% of all federal contracts intended for small businesses are actually going to these large corporations.
And you folks recently got through a FISA, FISA on the brain.
Well, yeah, that one's
A Federal Freedom of Information Act statement on where a lot of these small business contracts are going, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we filed suit against the Small Business Administration under the Freedom of Information Act, and we're actually able to obtain documents through a court order that actually show that large corporations were, number one, receiving small business contracts, and number two, shows that the it appears that the data has been manipulated to the point where we saw some small companies that received very small amounts of federal contracts actually give. The SBA gave the impression that they had received just hundreds of millions of dollars in federal small business contracts, and we actually saw large businesses rather that through third party data we actually found that had received hundreds of millions of dollars in federal small business contracts. The SBA had essentially deflated those denominations, so it looks like they're doing some kind of counterbalancing to give the impression that the data is that small businesses are the primary recipients of federal small business contracts.
Like, for example, if Marty wanted a federal to get a federal contract to provide, say, DVDs for entertainment of sailors on ships at sea, he should be able to apply for that, right?
He should be able to, and there is a dollar threshold by which federal contracts must be awarded to small businesses. So say, for example, if that contract fit within the parameters of a small business contract, technically Marty should be able to compete with other small businesses for that work. So he shouldn't have to compete with
Sony,
large DVD, direct wholesaler for those contracts.
Have you ever thought?
Where do I go to get that?
Working with the federal government is certainly a complicated process, and in order to get it, there are a number of online resources that you can use, for example, fedspending.org.
Say that again.
Fedspending.org. I believe it's .org.
Right.
But essentially, FedSpending has a number of contracting opportunities that are listed, and they'll have details about the contracts, when the bids are due, and things of that nature, and you can actually compete within that universe for those contracts. There are other ways to get contracts too. Of course, there are schedules. Say, for example, with the GSA, a schedule is like a catalog. So as a small business, you would fill out what's called a solicitation, get on their schedule, and then they would know the products and services that you offer. And then the federal government would essentially come to you and say, we would like, this product in this quantity, and then you'd be able to actually, sign a contract with them or sell directly to them.
Now, is this information available on your site, Chris?
Yeah, we do have some information on this type of information, but in terms of actually, working with the federal government in the process, the best way to go is actually to visit a website called business.gov. Business.gov is a site that was commissioned by the federal government, and it has links to just all kinds of really wealthy information, or useful and really relevant information on how to do business with the federal government. Now, the best time to get involved with the federal government is, I suppose, when we're moving towards change and trying to increase the amount of contracts going to small businesses.
Yeah.
But right now, people need to be aware of that. Really, the outward appearance is that, there's $100 million out there for small businesses to compete for with other small businesses. But, we're really seeing a large proportion of those contracts going to companies that are either large DOD contractors or just large Fortune 500 corporations.
Now, we got about a minute left here. This changes as the administration changes. I mean, as far as how Small Business Administration does business, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're looking at here is, and hopefully I understood the question correctly there, Frank. But in terms of the Small Business Administration, it has actually. I suppose that what you're looking at is the administration has adapted its policies according to the policies of whoever is in power at the time. And so we've actually seen the administration make some attempts to essentially address the problem, but what they're really doing is in some ways allowing it to continue by not being aggressive enough. And so we've actually seen them institute policies that have allowed, say, for example, large companies to keep small business contracts by grandfathering them into the system for 5 years.
Wow. Well, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you. What's your website?
Our website is www.asbl.com.
ASBL.com. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Chris, we'd like to have you on back in the future. Right now, we've got to run. Marty, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure.
Glad to be on the radio.
Okay, and if you get one of those contracts, you have to join ASBL and advertise with us, okay?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
We have some of those same issues here in this state, too.
Yeah.
And I see on your website you got Office Depot, and they're being investigated by like 7 different states right now for stealing contracts and then changing what they're delivering.
Oops.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, Marty, they're being investigated for doing what's called pass-throughs, which is, essentially starting shell companies and then having those shell companies compete with legitimate small businesses, when in reality it's just Office Depot competing with an office supply dealer in downtown.
And that is one of the key people starting Go Local in Tacoma, is because of that reason right there.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, it all ties together. We're all in this together, ladies and gentlemen. We will talk to you folks later. In fact, we'll probably have you on again together. That's cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Excellent. Right. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Thank you, Frank.
Excellent.
Bye.
Now, Tracy had one little thing that she wanted to talk about here. We got a couple of minutes. She can at least bring it up. We have a special guest.
Well, it came to me recently that there have been some very local problems with some of the Bush cutbacks that have happened, budgetary cutbacks. The WorkSource Agency, the employment and training agency down on 13th and Tacoma Avenue, they have received cuts. They're going to be laying off 7 employees down there. Now, this is a place that provides training for those that have been laid off from work so that they can get back into the work field. They provide computers to use, all kinds of things, resume building. They provide tuition for school for those that need complete retraining.
They help you learn how to get dressed the right way to go on interviews.
All of that. They are extremely, extremely important. And they've already suffered some cutbacks, and now they're looking to cut back quite a few more. Now, the loss of 7 employees down there is critical. And at a time when unemployment is going up, unemployment benefits have been cut. A lot of those people who were once receiving unemployment benefits are no longer, it's not that they're employed, so the numbers have changed.
No, it's just that they've been there too long, they're off the rolls.
Yes, they don't get any benefits anymore, so now they're not considered unemployed when those figures are reported, but they're still out of work. And so these people are down there working very hard to provide some sources for people to get back to work. And now it looks as though that they are actually needing their own help.
They're going to be standing in the unemployment line.
So now this is going to be taking place very soon, like next week. So call Senator Murray and call Senator Cantwell and ask them to fight these budgetary cuts, because it is possible that this can still be saved.
Right. So you have to call your congressman, or don't complain.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Senator Murray and Senator Cantwell are pretty good about this stuff, so they need to hear from you.
They need to know what's happening.
We'll be back after these wonderful words from our wonderful sponsors.
Okay, and we're back. Boy, that was cool getting to talk to a small business owner and finally somebody that's out there to help small business get their loans from the government, since they've been cheated out of them for years and years and years and years. So that was cool. I hope we get both of them back on here again real soon.
I have a United States congressman who's going to be calling our show in a minute. He called the station a couple of times and got a busy signal because we had 2 guests on at the same time.
Apparently. Well, we're just too popular. We just are doing our thing here.
So, we can get through our high-tech
system board, that we have. I'm telling you. Well, yeah. Well, you see, we can't be too protected. That's just the way things are here on Equal Time, I'm telling you.
You never know who might be listening.
Oh, God.
To the calls.
You don't know who might be downstairs when we leave here. That's the scary part.
Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, our civil rights as a nation took a huge hit from Congress and Pickles Pelosi. The FISA bill, in its present putrid form, actually passed the House of Representatives. It passed by an overwhelming margin. It's worse than what they had before. It provides telecommunications companies a hold harmless, essentially, despite the fact they broke the law, as they've been listening to you since before 9/11. And that's something that I can't stress enough, ladies and gentlemen. The telecoms, at the orders of our wonderful Bush administration, have been listening to everything you've been talking about, telecommunications, all electronic signals. Oddly enough, and the way we found out about this is a telecom worker who had retired said, "Oh, you know, we build a cabinet in this office building in San Francisco, in Nancy Pelosi's district, for God's sakes." They set up a building in a closet, and they did a splitter, and there's a trunk line there that virtually all electronic communications goes through. It's copied. One goes out into the net and into the world of electronic old magic that's called your cell phones and your computers. The other line goes and is copied. Every electronic signal in this country is copied. And the telecommunications companies were complicit in this, and they just got a free pass today. And they're, you know, I don't know why this is happening. I don't understand the logic behind
it. It's because it's going to cost them money. If this goes through, yeah, because according to the articles in the paper, if the had not gone through and not been voted to be accepted, the government was going to have to pay off all these lawsuits that the telecompanies had against the feds.
The government?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's what they changed it to.
Yeah.
So yeah. The companies are held harmless, and if
yeah,
they're suits...
Regardless.
Yeah,
regardless. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. You know... We as a nation, and Jay Inslee, God, I hope he is able to call back. I'm sure his time is probably kind of valuable as today, because as I was sitting there, and I don't watch C-SPAN every day, but I was watching this morning, Representative Conyers and Jay Inslee took, Jay Inslee in a minute, just put it all in a nutshell and essentially said, those of us who pose this are being accused of pre-9/11 thinking. And basically what he said, so did the people in 1776. was pre-9/11 thinking.
That's,
you know,
right.
So what we've got to start thinking about as a nation is, how much do you trust the president? Do you trust him with all your personal electronic communications and telephone calls? Because that's what happened in Congress today. Jay Inslee is one who took a very, again, short, in a minute, he put the whole thing in a nutshell and was and argued passionately against this, and we have him online too. Congressman Inslee, congratulations on Wild Skies, and what the heck went on in Congress today?
Well, the FISA bill passed, and I think that's unfortunate because, as you noted, I thought there was a major league failure to stand up for people's privacy and simple enforcement of the law when we effectively gave, or the Congress gave, immunity to the telecommunications companies who apparently acted illegally in disclosing private personal information to the White House. And I think it's most unfortunate because it was not necessary. These companies had a way to follow the law, and they simply didn't do it. And I do not believe simply saying that when George Bush, you know, tells you to jump, we're going to give people immunity because they jump. We need to tell people that next time George Bush asks people to do something illegal, we tell him no. And so this immunity was the wrong direction for the country. And that's why the principal reason I voted no.
And it sets precedent too, right?
Well, sure it does. It doesn't mean it'll be followed, but it does set a precedent. And I don't think it's a good precedent for this country to say we pass laws. The laws are supposed to have teeth. And the first time they're violated on a massive scale by very powerful corporations, we just hand out a get-out-of-jail-free card. And the situation is, the way this was written, some of my Republican colleagues kept saying, well, these were, you know, good faith actions by the companies. First off, we don't know that. But secondly, the way the bill was written, even if they acted in bad faith, even if their attorneys told them this is patently and clearly illegal what the president is asking you to do, even though they knew it was illegal, they still get immunity. Now, to me, that makes no sense. You know, they got some high-priced lawyers working for these companies to tell them, look, this is illegal, the statute doesn't allow it, George Bush is simply flat wrong, don't do it. They get immunity from ignoring even their own attorney. So I was very disappointed that this happened, and it was not a good day for people's privacy rights. And, you know, the Republicans, John Boehner, was sort of castigating us, saying, well, we're in the pre-9/11 mindset. And I pointed out that July 4th, 1776 was prior to 9/11. And those values that we fought for in that war and ever since ought to be maintained. And today they weren't totally. So it was disappointment.
What? I mean, it goes to the Senate now, right?
Yes, and they have presumably the votes in the Senate because they made a deal over there with some of the senators. So presumably we'll have enough votes, unfortunately. Now, the bill did have some modest improvements in some of the warrant and record-keeping provisions that will restrain future presidents if the law is followed. But this provision that allowed the previous law to be violated, vitiated, with total immunity, was not an auspicious start to this new law.
I've got to ask, because, you know, this whole thing was discovered because of a retired telecom worker who actually set up a splitter in all places in Nancy Pelosi's district. And as I sat there and watched the Speaker of the House, that from the most honest God, the most liberal district in the country, sing the praises of this bill, I thought, my God, my Democratic Party is upside down. What can we do to stop this?
Well, we're going to get a new president, for starters, and encourage people to vote no for votes like this. The speaker did point out the failure in the bill, the same one I did, in her speech. She disagreed with this provision as well, and was reluctantly, I think the best way to describe it, supporting of the bill, because it did have some improvements in the warrant provisions in the future. But I didn't think we, at least in my judgment, it was not the right thing to simply ignore and wink our eyes at violations in the past. So she didn't urge anybody to vote for it. It was sort of the best thing I could say is, voting for it, holding your nose a little bit with some of these stinky provisions. And my view was to stand up to the White House and simply not go for it. So that was my position.
Well, Congressman, is it ever going to go back to where what is right, what is wrong, and we don't stick with all the gray, we go to black and white and say, you're wrong, so we're not going to do it? Do we ever go back to that again?
Well, my view is, the way I put it, I said there's some lines we should not cross, and giving a president a right to, and his allies to violate the law with impunity is a line we should not cross, even if there's other things that are good in the bill. Now, what you said is, are we ever going to go back to the days where right is right and wrong is wrong? I do wish life was that simple. Every bill I sign is a mixture of good and bad. I'm not sure I've ever voted for a bill that was absolutely perfect. The Mona Lisa has yet to be painted here legislatively.
Well, so, they got a mustache painted on it today.
Right, I think that's a fair way of saying it. Like I said, there were some good things in this bill that had additional restrictions on future presidents' ability to monitor private citizens. So there were some positive things in this bill, but I just think you don't cross a line where there is conscious, willful, potential violation of the law, and you just ignore it. So that was my judgment. These things are a matter of judgment on balance, and that was mine today.
And so at this point, will this president not be held accountable for his actions?
We don't know what will happen with this president when he's out of office. There's going to be a lot of things discovered, I suspect, after mm-hmm. he's out of office, things we don't know about even today.
Right.
So we don't know the answer yet. All I can say is that going forward, we ought to insist on the rule of law. It's the only thing that keeps us from being an uncivilized mob. And the minute you start ignoring the law, the minute you turn over rights to a rogue president, the country starts going downhill. And my favorite quote on this is by William O. Douglas, who reminded us there was no such thing as a little loss of liberty. And he said, tyranny does not come as a curtain coming down in one sort of final dramatic act. Tyranny comes in as the twilight comes, little darker shades of gray, and all of a sudden it's dark. And so that's why I think when it comes to privacy and liberty issues, you can't yield even on small issues, even on things that might not be seen as titanic, but yielding these liberties inch by inch, that's an erosion we cannot allow in this country.
Amen.
Congressman Inslee, I was so proud of you today, and you exemplify why we send people to Congress, and we thank you so much for all you've done.
Great.
And
well, I'll remind you said that if I ever get a vote wrong in here.
Oh, no. Now it's taped.
Congressman Jay Inslee, thanks for calling us.
Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back with a Red State Report right after these wonderful words from our even more wonderful sponsors. Well, they got her dandruff. Congressman Inslee is right. We cannot allow this to stand. And Tracy has some this TURD in a punch bowl just headed over to the Senate. And we've got two senators. Everybody's got two senators and one representative. And Tracy would like to read the D.C. numbers of our two senators, Cantwell and Murray.
Well, I want to give you more than the D.C. numbers for those of you that can't call long distance.
Right.
D.C. numbers best now because that's where they are. So mm-hmm. The D.C. numbers for Patty Murray is 202-224-2621. And for Maria Cantwell, it's 202-224-3441. The Seattle number for Patty Murray is 206-553-5545. 855 or toll free at 866-481-9186. The Tacoma number is 253-572-3636. For Maria Cantwell, the Seattle number is 206-220-6400, and her Tacoma number is 253-572-2281. Call about this FISA bill and ask them not to support it, and also call them regarding the layoffs that are taking place down at the Employment Workforce Training Center in Tacoma.
Worksource. Like I said, Worksource. So, anyway, listen, there has to be, Congressman Inslee is exactly right. There has to be a line in the sand, and Congress crossed it today. You may not eliminate the Fourth Amendment and give special treatment to private businesses that have broken the law to spy on you without any warrant against the law. Keep in mind, this started before 9/11. The Bush, you may trust them, but they don't trust you because they've been spying on you all this time and continue to do so and will continue to do so in the future thanks to these rats that voted for this. Is that too strong a term? How about mice? Okay, we have a call on line one, and we haven't heard from them a while, and we'd like to offer you our friend Grouchy from rural Kentucky is going to give us a red state report. What's going on in rural America? Welcome to Equal Time, Grouch. How you doing? Well, we're just trying to get through the day, you know, especially when Congress apparently has turned their back on us.
I heard one of the ladies giving out the phone numbers for your senators.
Right.
Here, Mitch McConnell's number is 1-800-DON'T-BOTHER.
You come from the state where Mitch McConnell's from, right?
I'm sorry.
Sadly so.
Well, tell us, does he have a serious challenger?
Yeah, he's up against Lunsford again, Bruce, and you know the old saying that three strikes you're out. Actually, I think that's what's going to happen to McConnell this time. Lunsford almost beat him last time, and Lunsford's no prize. But if you want to compare the lesser of two evils, he definitely beats McConnell big time, and he's a major he's a millionaire, but he is a Democrat, and he has got a lot of good stands on things. But when you're running against Satan himself, you pretty much take one of Satan's minions anytime over Satan. But that's about basically what we're looking at.
Can you find anybody that voted for George Bush in Kentucky now?
No.
I guess so.
Which
way are people leaning now?
I think the entire state's going to go completely blue this time. I really do. And we have Beshear now. His approval numbers are sky high.
And that's your governor?
Yeah, the new Democratic governor.
Wow.
And, you even utter the word Ernie Fletcher now. People cross themselves and step back.
So. Hold up, garlic.
Yeah, it's really been a change. You were talking about FISA to the senator a while ago.
Yes.
There's a couple of things a lot of people probably don't know, but this started in the 70s, the FISA court did.
Yeah.
And the first year that it was out, it was 228 requests for warrants in 70, I want to say 72 or something. Pretty sure it was 72. And then last year in 2006, it went from 226 requests in the 70s to 23,000 some odd requests lent in 2006.
And none of them have ever been turned down. There's been like two or three of these warrants out of that.
A total of five out of 26. Out of 20-some thousand, five of them were just flatly denied, and the rest of them, there were some that were modified or combined, but just on the merits, five out of 20-some thousand were turned down.
We were talking with you one time. We're not going to get into this again because I don't want you to get a visit from anybody, but we were talking about torture in the United States, and there was a recent series of articles that came out from McClatchy News about what the United States has actually been doing. With your ear to that track, you probably knew about this before we did. But now, has this been going on all the time, Grouch, without getting into anything terribly...
This is something that's as old as a tree in your front yard. I mean, the senator was talking about the whole FISA thing about... And see, what people don't realize is this is coming to the surface now, but it's been there for a long, long time. Just to give you an example, do you know that most of your major police departments around the United States have intelligence units? Did you know that?
That's scary. That is spooky.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not talking about a group of guys that dress up in BDUs and they're riding around in a black van. These are people who gather intelligence on a local level, and much in the same way that the CIA or the FBI or anybody else operates. And with them being on a local or state level, federal standards or federal laws don't apply to them. I'll give you an example of Lexington, Kentucky. The Lexington, Kentucky Police Department has an intelligence unit. You go in, it's not in the building directory, it's not in the phone book, but when you become involved in the inner workings of the police department, they have their own office, and they have people who go out and don't do anything but collect, and there's no limits, no standards for you to follow. It just whatever they deem worthwhile to collect, they collect. And it's not just, I mean, from having been around the ring, so to speak, I happen to know that New York, Chicago, it's very common. Anytime you go into a department with over 100,000 people, you're more than likely going to find an intelligence division.
Now, you could literally have a list of people who are unchurched, right?
Yeah. I mean, you'd be amazed at things that they... Okay, let's say you have a community activist, and this may be somebody who's out in the community, and he's not, advocating violence or any of this other kind of stuff, but he may run afoul of the current city administration, and therefore it's considered okay to collect information on this person. Or you may have somebody, and say you've got a conservative administration somewhere, and you may have a group of people even you and the ladies that are doing what you do, and anything that's deemed of value can be collected and stored. What I would suggest everybody do at some point is make a Freedom of Information request to the government, to the federal government, and to your state government.
And your local government.
And you would be amazed, absolutely stunned, at what will come back to you. It will just blow you away. It really will.
I don't think I want to know locally what they've got on me.
It would absolutely scare you to death.
Just a yes or no answer, Grouch. You've mentioned this before. There have been Americans in Iran doing clandestine work for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, this further, it's been stated that Nancy Pelosi is doing all this stuff to make it easier for Bush to go into Iran, and I don't know why. I don't know. I wish I knew. I can't figure out what Pickles Pelosi is up to, or Hairless Reed.
The thing there that I'm seeing or I'm picking up or whatever is the prevailing notion among the powers that be is that eventually there's going to be a massive land grab in the Middle East. Now, take a look at Russia and Putin. Putin is still basically in charge. I mean, he just changed offices, so to speak.
Yeah.
Putin's big ambition is to bring the bear back. That's what he wants. He wants Russia to return to being a major power. On the other hand, you got China.
Grouch, we're at the end of our hour. We would love to pick up this conversation with you at a later date. Could we do that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Grouch, stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe, my friend. Keep ducking. Head up in the hills now. You called Equal Time again.
go say it's about time for a hunt, Drew.
Thanks a lot, Grouch.
All right.
Bye-bye, Grouch.
Thanks for joining us as another well-packed show, and we'll be back next week with even more stuff.